This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation. I am JT here with another PTBN Greatest WWE Wrestler Ever Pod Blast. And joining me here tonight is one of the members of the Podblast Shield. That is my boy, Greg Phillips. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great, JT. I feel like tonight we might be two dudes with attitudes.
That's true. And we should note, I guess, we've dumped the deadweight Ben Morris, and we're running lean and mean here tonight, so we are in good shape. And speaking of good shape, we are taking on the case for a wrestler who I guess maybe at one time was in good shape, and maybe many years later wasn't, but whatever. We'll break it all down. And that is a very unique case, and that is the case of Kevin Nash. And I say it's unique because he is often the butt of many jokes when it comes to his run in WWE or WWF. And I feel like he's a guy that when you first look at his name, you may think, no chance. And then you kind of talk about him, and then you kind of look at what he's got on his resume, and then you kind of maybe starts to pass the sniff test for you once you really dive into his resume. What were your initial thoughts when you're looking at this list, you're thinking of 100 guys? Did Kevin Nash jump out at you as someone that would be on the list?
I think initially, to be honest, I probably looked at it and said, you know what, he probably makes the list, but he's probably not going to be very high. Because, I mean, you know, he was a WWE champion for a year, and or better part of a year.
Is that a positive or a negative for him, though?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, he's somebody that I thought I could probably scrounge up enough cases to put him on the list, given some of the other guys that I'm considering. But yeah, not exactly a name that screams greatest of all time, certainly.
Well, he also has a short run. I mean, he's only there for just about 3 years. And really, I mean, you could argue 2 years as like for a case for this project. Mid-94 to mid-96, and that's pretty much it. Because his first year in 93 to 94 is pretty much just as a bodyguard and fodder. And then his comeback, there really isn't much there either. So, I mean, you're really building a case on about 2 years' worth of time. And, you know, as you hear Will and others say, like, you know, these guys shouldn't be necessarily penalized for that. Some guys hang around too long, and it ends up, you know, building up a bad resume. So let's start with the NJPW system as we start to break these guys down, and we start with the N, and that is nuance. And that is where longevity could come into play, but also flexibility and intangibles. And I do think he rates pretty highly here. I think he has really good intangibles. I think he has a good crowd connection once he figured it out. I think he has a good star presence and aura that clicked immediately in mid-94 and never really went away, even when he was at his worst in 95. He still had that like swagger and that connection to the crowd. It's just that the matches and feuds were not very inspired that he was stuck in. He also, of course, is a great promo. We'll talk about that later. But flexible, you know, he has some great and one iconic tag match to his credit, and some really good tag work as well as singles work. He worked pretty well as a face and a heel, more so when he was like the aggressive face, like in early in 95. But in both roles, he could get the job done. And again, you know, he's hurt a little bit by longevity, but I do think his resume is so stacked within those couple of years that he is in contention. What do you think of him from the nuance point of view, Greg?
I think I pretty well agree with you on a lot of this. His look is great. He had an iconic and unique look. Mm-hmm. He didn't look like anybody that had come before or anybody that really came after. He had a star power about him. I think where I disagree with you on the nuance is I don't think he played a very good babyface. Okay. I think that for me, and I'm speaking as someone who was in their target demographic. I was 11 in 95, and so I just remember I always thought that the guy that called himself cool was probably not that cool. And that was what Diesel screamed to me, is that they kept telling you how cool he is, and I kept saying, what is so cool about him other than that he's big?
See, I think there's two parts to Diesel's face run, and we're reliving a big chunk of it right now through the Vintage Vault Refresh, the written Raw reviews that Scott Criscolo and I are doing. And he, from when he wins a title in November, and he's ostensibly almost a face even right before that, everyone's cheering him so much, until WrestleMania 11, I thought he was a pretty good face. Like, I thought he came off as credible when he's hanging out with the athletes, and they had him all over the place. He's doing Rock and Jock, he's doing MTV Award, you know, like he's all over TV and everything else, and really hobnobbing with these stars. And I thought he looked believable because he had the legit athletic background. He's the basketball player. He's kind of a cool guy. He's a good-looking guy. He's funny. So I thought he blended in well. It's when and during that whole time, he still wrestled aggressively and worked with an attitude and didn't placate to the fans necessarily. He was still the Diesel of 94. It's not until after Mania where Shawn really shows him up in that match at WrestleMania 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets put into the feud with pure heels that don't allow him to be kind of the aggressive. You know, remember on our podcast about Mr. Perfect? We talked about how great Perfect was because he, as a face, he still wrestled the same, right? He was still the same human being. And I think Diesel was that way until that WrestleMania match. And then after that, he was put into these feuds and matches with guys like Sid and Tatanka and Mabel. And he couldn't be that aggressive, hard-hitting, you know, in your face Diesel just fighting different guys like he was early in 95. And then he gets there again later.
Yeah, he forms a smiling babyface tag team with Bam Bam Bigelow briefly. And, you know, it was a, it just was, to me at the time, I just remember thinking, you know, I got why he was popular in the first place, but like, yeah, he lost that edge that made him cool originally. Right. And when you've got Vince, who's the corniest guy in the entire planet, coming out and saying, ha, ha, look at Big Daddy Cool. I don't think that did him any favors. I don't think that does anybody any favors.
No, definitely not. And the same thing happens a year later with Sean in 96, right, where he's gushing over him.
That's a great parallel. Great point.
And, you know, I almost wonder if they would have been, and this is completely hindsight. I mean, there's no way they could have thought to do this at the time, but in retrospect, would they have been better served to do a double turn after WrestleMania and have Diesel go back heel and Shawn go face in some kind of manner? I don't know how they could have done it, because or had Shawn stay heel and fight with Diesel again, take some time, but whatever they wanted to do. But the worst thing they could have done, because Shawn was getting more popular than him, was having him be buddy-buddy with Shawn Michaels against an unbelievably boring heel that In Your House match happened, Sid just mailed it in. Like, he was fine until then because he goes kind of on the old 92 jobber tour where he just starts destroying guys leading up to In Your House. And then after that, it's just from there through like November, he just doesn't get much to work with outside of here and there. So let's jump into the, no pun intended, the jump up factor. That's the J. Memorable peak matches, moments, and storylines. I mean, there are some that just leap off the page, right? His series with Bret Hart, 3 out of 4 were great. His match with Shawn Michaels, a good friend's better enemy, great. His the tag match on Action Zone, you know, he plays a good role in that. His series with Razor at, you know, SummerSlam and the Superstars match, you know, really, really good stuff. Anything else that really jump off the page at you at this point for Diesel besides that, the obvious ones that stand out?
No, I think he was a guy that he needed to be in there with the right opponent in order to make it work. And I think when he was, it worked. And when he wasn't, it didn't. I will say, I think this is his strongest category because I think he had a lot of memorable moments.
Yeah.
Such as the heel turn, quasi heel turn after he lost the title to Brett.
Yep.
One of the best periods of any character in that era, really a precursor to Attitude.
Yep.
When you had Shades of Grey Diesel, I thought that was an outstanding character, some of the best work of his career. That 3-match series with Brett from King of the Ring 94 through Survivor Series 95, not only some of the best matches of Kevin Nash's career, but some of the best matches of Bret Hart's career.
And that King of the Ring one often gets overlooked. That's a really good match, especially for where Nash was in his career. I mean, he had just kind of gotten started with that push. He's thrown into that match, and then boom, just delivers a really, really good title match.
You could argue it was the first good match of his whole career. For as many years as he's been in the business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think there's much to that Superstars match. So, yeah, I would say that's probably not far off.
The matches with Brett just really leap off to me because Nash showed that when he had the right guy to wrestle, he played a mean, nasty monster heel really well. And he did that even as a babyface against Brett, where he had this kind of mean streak to him that I really dug. And unfortunately, and I'm trying to remember, JT, can you think of any matches from his comeback run that were really above average?
I mean, the Elimination Chamber is not bad. He doesn't really have much of a role in that, though. I don't know. Was his match with Jericho on Raw? That was probably okay. I don't mind the Hell in a Cell with Triple H. Like, I think
I was going to ask you about that one because I hear mixed opinions on that one, and I don't remember anything about it. So
it's passable. I mean, it's, you know, it's during a time during a title reign that's just not inspired. The Judgment Day match sucks, but the Cell is not that bad. It's better than the one with Shawn. I'll say that, and that may be faint praise, but it definitely wasn't awful. And they break out some gimmicks and tricks, but for what it was fine. And that the six man backlash is okay too. At least part of that. But
ladder match they had was okay for what it was.
Him and Triple H.
Yeah,
that was fine too. Two other moments that really jump out for me as well: him beating Bob Backlund in MSG. That's a really cool moment, and him fighting Undertaker at WrestleMania, which really was the first guy to give Taker any kind of challenge or felt like a threat in WrestleMania. And the build to that was really good too. That might be one of his most memorable feuds, because remember they do the casket,
right?
And then part of that too is, if you recall, the tag match at MSG where Diesel hit Sean with the chair, and Sean says, "I'm going to kick his 7-foot ass," and all that stuff. Like, that's kind of his real heel turn. Him costing Taker the title match at the Rumble, where he flips him off after. Like all that stuff is really, really memorable Diesel moments. Go ahead.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I don't know how I blanked on that. I really liked that WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I think that's the first really good Taker match at a WrestleMania, and still to this day, you know, if I'm ranking them, it probably makes the top half of my favorite Taker WrestleMania matches. So I really enjoy it. I think it's really well worked for that era. I think they both work like big men, and it's really compelling to watch. And I thought they had I don't think the finish was really in doubt. I thought they did a good job of building drama to it. And I really dug that match, that feud. I remember liking one of his matches with Owen, too. I can't remember.
Yeah, there was one in In-House 5 is okay. That's where he gets a DQ'd. I think they had a decent one on Raw, too. And Diesel, I don't think that was a foregone conclusion of that Mania, because Taker didn't really have any kind of streak going yet. And if you look at it, Diesel had been really still in the title picture. You're thinking Sean's probably going to beat Brett.
True.
So Diesel looks like he's being lined up as a contender for Sean. Maybe he goes over Taker at Mania. So, but I do think word has started to leak by that point that he may be
right. That's what I was thinking. I thought I remembered reading before WrestleMania in like PWI or something, or The Wrestler, that Diesel's contract was running out soon. And so I kind of figured at the time that...
Right, he's probably not going to lose this one. Memorable moments there. And you know, there's times where he has some, you know, rough matches, like we've talked about, stuff with Mabel.
Yeah.
And maybe we can just jump ahead quick to work rate, and we can lump this all in. So, matches with Mabel, matches with Sid. But you know what? If you watch that Mabel match, it's not terrible. And it's 9 minutes, but Diesel's carrying the thing. And that's including the part where Mabel blows his back out by falling on his back. He also had the elbow injury at In Your House 1 that he works through throughout the summer. Very uninspired feuds that he's in. It's just, DiBiase is as milquetoast as a manager as it gets. Sid clearly had no interest in being the chicken shit heel. Tatanka, a main event heel 3 years after his expiration. You know what I mean? He just has nothing to work with. And then you look right after SummerSlam, he picks it back up because they throw him in the tag with Shawn with the Dudes of the Attitudes, taking on Owen and Yoko. And then, the one match that really stands out, and we talked about this on the Bulldog Pod Blast as well, that really hurts him, is that one with Bulldog, because that's one where pieces were all there and he doesn't come through. But I just don't blame him for the Sid and the Mabel shit. I mean, I don't know how you can.
Yeah, that's true. The Bulldog match stands out as bad. And then I know that I'm in the minority on this one, but I don't like the Shawn match at WrestleMania. And I think part of it is because it feels like Sean was kind of tanking him a little bit in that match.
That too. And, and even with that, it's still a pretty good match. I mean, it's still like 3.5-ish.
I think it's closer to 3, because I don't know. Every time I watch that match, I just find myself thinking, it doesn't feel like there's a ton of heat. And I don't know. It didn't work the way it did the next year, when it felt like, because it, again, I feel like with Diesel, it's a situation where he needs to be in there with somebody that can really bring the movement and the motion to the match. And Shawn the next year at Good Friends, Better Enemies does that, and it creates an incredible match.
Yeah, he definitely sandbags him in Mania, but you do have Sid with the knife, which is something.
very true.
But no, I don't know. I don't think it hurts his resume. I'll put it that way. I mean, if you watch that match, and I know it sounds like we're giving him like a lot of passes, but I don't know how you can't when you look at some of the guys he's with. And then, I mean, they've admitted, Sean has admitted that, like, and Nash has admitted that Sean basically went out there to show him up and make him look like shit, and like he to blow him up, and he blows him up. I mean, that was, I mean, again, another a moment. Like, how can you hold that against the guy when the wrestler, as good as Shawn Michaels, is going out there and basically purposely trying to outwork you and show you up? I mean, I don't know how you can blame
that. Another one I thought
of
that's not very good is the cage match versus Brett at
True.
In your house.
And again, I know I'm making excuses, but Brett very openly was mailing in that time frame because he was pissed off and felt like a transitional champion. And a part of that's on Diesel, but I look at Nash during that run, and that's really his only blip during a really hot 4 months. So again, he definitely gets blame. I think the Bulldog match, that match, and 11, there is blame on his end, but I do think there's all mitigating factors in two of the three. The Bulldog one is really the only one where you can say, all right, you know, you had a really good opportunity.
That is such a weird just circumstance of that match. Like, it still doesn't make sense to me why it was as bad as it was.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I have no clue. I have no clue what was going on with that one. I mean, maybe just fatigue for Diesel, you know what I mean? Just being done at the end of his rope. But as a worker, you know, again, you said it. You nailed it on the head. If he's in there with someone who can pick up the pace and keep things moving, he's really good. He can keep up. If you have him in there with a big guy, he's not going to carry them. So, I mean, I think he's right down the middle. I think he is an average worker who has some pretty good power offense. And I think his biggest point of credit is that he can be pulled to like a 5-star match. And not a lot of guys who have average work rate can be pulled to a 5-star match.
Right. I agree with that.
And he can. All right, let's take a few minutes here. Let's talk about his promo skills and character work, because I think these are probably his highest marks. Really, really strong promo. Even as the awkward heel bodyguard Diesel, which really doesn't factor too much into here since he wasn't wrestling, but by the fall he was. I thought he was fine. He was doing kind of the wise guys gimmick that he did in WCW. You know, and that's fine enough. And then once the switch flips for him in April of 94, immediately him and Sean are really, really fun with their back and forth banter. And I thought he came across as kind of a cool heel. You know, obviously his best promo work would come later into early 96 when he fashions what would become Kevin Nash Outsider. But I thought you could always, he never like stunk out the joint with a promo. He was always good to very, very good when needed. And his character, again, outside of, you know, the time where they were trying to ham fist him into that role, I thought was excellent. I thought he was a good aggressive babyface early on. I thought he came off well when he was with Stars. And his Survivor's 95 till Good Friends Better Enemy run may be one of the best character stretches that they ever had.
Yeah. The from a promo standpoint, again, I didn't like most of his stuff in 95 until the turn towards the end of the year. But even then, it wasn't like I can point to a Nash promo as being, God, that was so bad. It was just kind of
right.
It was kind of what everyone was doing at that time in the company. I mean, where are the great 1995 WWF promos?
Right. Barry Dudinsky. He's cutting them in the aisle.
So it's I think his best promo work was definitely in WCW, but that's not part of our criteria. We can go off of what we saw. And his stuff at the end of 94 and at the end of 95 going into 96 was some of the best of the entire decade for the WWF. I mean, his style of promo, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming that his style of promo influenced Russo and some of the others in terms of what they wanted from the Austins and the Rocks of the world going forward. He was exceptional in that category. And to your point, played his character to perfection, no matter what it was. Even if it was generic Superman babyface, he wasn't super over like you would expect for that role.
Right.
But he played the role, he played the role perfectly. And when he needed to ratchet up that edge and be Kevin Nash and get his real personality out there. And that was the biggest failing of his comeback run. For whatever reason, Vince has it in his head that Nash needs to be serious all the time.
Right.
And I've always felt Nash is at his best as the laid-back, cocky, you know, sarcastic smartass, as opposed to the super serious, I'm going to kick your ass guy.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. And that's his best stuff is 94 into 95. He's doing that. The only time the super serious badass ass kicker, like I said, is maybe that very, very early 95. But Yeah, no, even 96, he's still kind of the cocky asshole. And that promo he cuts after Star Series 95, where he basically turns heel, that was really, really good. And, you know, another character nuance that we didn't talk about that was really neat was the black glove stuff, where he would only tap your hand if you had the black glove on. You know, he makes that pretty well known, and kind of a forgotten promo, and I only know this because I watched the show so many damn times back in the day. The 96 Slammies, right on the eve of WrestleMania 12, he cuts a really good one, ripping Shawn and Undertaker, and kind of holds up the black glove and basically says, if you're not, you know, if you don't have the glove, you're not with me, kind of thing. Good stuff there. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he's at his best when he's able to just kind of be himself and not have to portray a serious mugging, you know, killer.
Right. I just remember I was so excited about him coming back in 02 and 03 and then in 11 even. But every time it was like, you know, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to deliver really serious monotone promos.
Right.
You know, and then we're going to wrestle. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not interested in that.
And, I mean, I guess we could throw the 11 Rumble in as a memorable moment for him, too.
Yeah.
Big return as Diesel. Like, that was kind of cool because he had always been Kevin Nash during his return. So, showing have him come out with the music and come out as Diesel, I think that was a cool moment. And, I mean, for better or worse, I guess you could throw the quad on there as a moment, too, right? I mean, that's one of the most joked about moments of all time.
And what about the – I mean, he doesn't do anything in the segment, but the NWO return segment where The Rock cut the promo at
New Way Out.
I mean, that's a classic moment, too. So,
all right. So if you had a guesstimate right now, Greg, where you would have Diesel, Kevin Nash in your rankings, where do you think he falls?
I'm thinking somewhere in that – somewhere in the – maybe the 80s, 70s or 80s.
Yeah. Somewhere. No, I think I'm with you. I think that's fair. And again, but I think that's something that doesn't necessarily – wouldn't have jumped out at you when you first thought about this
project. Thinking 90s when I started putting my list together. So
I would think a lot of people probably maybe even had him off, to be honest with you. And when I think about it, I mean, you know, when they talked about it on the four-year consideration, I thought they did a really good job kind of summing him up as well. I think that was the one with Zellner and Steve Williams. I thought they were really the first ones to put in my mind, like, okay, yeah, this guy's a legit contender. And then the more I thought about it, yeah, I think he's a good fit. So be sure to take part in this project. You can do it at facebook.com/placementnation for details. We can add you to the group. We have a special Greatest Dirty Wrestler Ever group. We have discussion going on at prowrestlingonly.com. We have discussion in the comments of placementnation.com as well. We have pod blasts dropping nearly every day. We have written pieces by Michael DeDamos that I go up on the site. All kinds of content you can contribute to. If you're listening to this and you want to be part of a pod blast or written piece, just reach out to us and we're kind of opening this thing up. Lists will be due toward the end of the year and then we'll roll things out. Even if you don't take part of the discussion or contribute to any of the material, you can still submit a list. We're hoping we get many, many lists of everyone's top 100 WWE stars of all time. Anything else you want to talk about, Greg?
No, I just want to give people a shout out to go watch that King of the Ring 94 match because it's one that, like you said, does fly under the radar. I caught it maybe last year for the first time in quite some time and was really blown away by how good it was.
There you go. All right, so why don't we go ahead and wrap things up? That is Greg. I'm JT. We're two members of the Shield. Maybe Ben will return next time, maybe not. But until then, everyone take care. Get your lists ready. So let's start the project. See you later.